We are up to Perek Lamed Pasik Yud Zayin. Pasik Yud Zayin begins a new section. But before we go further, I just want to make mention from yesterday left out about the Aluka. The Aluka is Gehenim, Hashtei Vanos, two daughters, two pairs, half-half. I just want to make mention that the half-half according to the Medrash refers to the two Vanos means the two groups of people who are occupying Gehenim. And they are, as we mentioned yesterday, the group called Minus, and the group are called Rishus. Minus means people who are involved in apikorsis. And the group of individuals that are part of the government. Half-half means they. The reason why they are suffering in Gehenna is because in their lifetime, they were always looking for more. The Rishus, the corrupt government, was always looking to steal the people, the money of the people, and the Apikarsim, the group called Minus, they're always looking half. They were always asking for more to take people into their group. So according to this Medrash, when it says the Banos does not mean the actual location. The Banos here means the Banos means. It means the people who are in Gehenim, and the pasuk goes on to explain why they are in Gehenim, and the reason being is because they always were in a state of where they were demanding half-half, they were saying in their lifetime, half-half. Okay, another interesting idea is Gehenim, this is a Kabbalistic Indian, is that Gehenim is divided into two parts. There's a part of Gehenim that says in the Kabbalim, it says so it's in the art scroll, it says that Gehenim is called half-half. Half is, there are two letters, Hey and Beis. Hey is five, Beis is two, for a total of seven, which means that in Gehenim there are seven chambers. And the seven chambers are divided into two sections. There is a section that has five chambers, and the section that has two compartments. The area that has two compartments, it's called Sheol Va'avadon. And it says here in the... I have no idea. Someone must have come back to tell us. Sheol Va'avadon. Sheol Va'avadon is two different sections, and it says there that once a person ends up in Sheol Va'avadon, there is no escape. This that we know that Mishpat Rishon BeGehenim is only Yud Beis Chodesh. That's only in the section that has five compartments. But the section that has two compartments, people are stuck there forever. All right, who knows what this means? But only one thing was curious to me. And that's the only reason why I'm saying this, because where do we have this idea of a grand total of seven, and we break up the seven into five and two? We say this every single day in davening. In the menorah, part of the Asedu HaVoid of the menorah is the Hatovas Chomesh Neros, the Hatovas Shtei Neros. The menorah has seven branches, and the seven branches, the cleansing and the preparation was the first five were done, and then the carbon tamid, the ketores, the tamid was offered, and then they went back to go do this. After the tamid, they went back to cleanse and light, kindle the other two neros. So I don't know what this means, but you can't say that it's a coincidence. Is that there's a parallel? The menorah is the Or HaTorah. It represents the greatest form of kedusha. HaMenorah HaTorah, Torah says, it's pure, and the menorah also gives light. And yet, on the other hand, we have Gehenim, which also Chazal are telling us, based upon this word, the Aluka has Shtei Vanos, and the Shtei Vanos half-half, a description of Gehenim is Hey Beis, five and two, a grand total of seven. So obviously, there is something going on here. The Zeh Le'uma Zeh Bara Elokim. A person, on a very simple level, attaches himself to the Menorah HaTorah, the purity of the Menorah, which represents Torah Shebal Peh, L'chora, there's some type of message that is a protection, a shmira against Rahman Litzlan, the counterpart to the Menorah HaTorah, which also has seven, that's broken up into two different sections, five and two, which is what Chazal allude to here in this word, Aluka, of half.
I can't say where Dante got the idea from, but in the Inferno,
yeah.
Seven levels of purgatory.
seven levels. Okay, but the Chazal tell us that. That's from Chazal. Chazal says Shiva Midurei Gehenna. Chazal said they are Shiva Midurei Gehenna. But what's unique about this pasuk is that the Shiva Midurei Gehenna are broken up into two sections, 5 and 2. 5 and 2. And where does that come from? Mishlei. Laluka. Aluka is the grave, Gehenna. Half, half. Half is 5, 2. And the menorah also has had the Seder HaVodah, HaTavas Chomesh Neros. Then the Tomid was offered, and then the Kohen went back to do HaTavas Shtei Neros. Also an idea of 5 and 2. Okay, let's go to the next part. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Ayin Tilag Lo'av V'Savuz Likichas Eim Yikrua Orvei Nochal V'Yochlua V'Nei Nosha. Seemingly this is a new thing. It's a new theme, a new idea. It's somehow it's smacked right in the middle. Doesn't seem to connect to anything before or anything after. The eye, an eye that mocks a father. Tilag means like leitzanis, to make nothing of a father. And the savuz, and he disgraces. Likahas, it's a hey, likahas aim. Likahas aim means the love of a mother. Person makes, he does not have any appreciation for the love that his mother. Over here in the Mitzudos, I take it back. He says Likas means the collection. Inyan kibbutz v'asifa k'mo v'lo v'lo yikhas amisad. So I take it back. It means the hidden word is everything that a mother does for him. The collective love that a mother provides for a child. A child does not appreciate what his mother has done for him and makes nothing of it. V'savuz, he despises likahas aim, the asifa, the collective chesed that his mother has done on his behalf. What is his fate? His fate is yikruah, this eye. Now there's a question in the commentators, is the eye mean literally the eye of the human being? Or does it mean, it's a term, it's a borrowed term which refers to the person himself. The eye, a person's life depends upon his eyes, what he sees, his outlook. Yikruah, this eye, referring to the person himself, will be ripped open, lashon of kriya, will be torn out by the Orve Nochal, the ravens of the stream. A creature that is violent. An Orev, Chazal say, does not have compassion upon its children. It's an Achzori. It is a cruel bird. Does not show compassion upon its children. And this Mida Keneged Mida, a child that does not have Rachmanis upon its parents will suffer mida keneged mida. The Oirev Nochal will come and attack him, rip out his eyes, but the Oirev will not eat the eye, but instead the Ochlua Vinei Nosher, an eagle, the Vinei Nosher, will come along and eat this eye. It's a very bizarre pasuk. Let's see at least al derech pshat what this means, pasuk Yud Zayin, and then we'll see a beautiful medrash, pasuk Yud Zayin, Ayin Tilak. What does this mean? Ayin and eye. Hamela eges birimizosa al musar ha'av. It winks. The reason why, according to the Mitzvah, referring to the eyes, that when the father is giving musar to the child, he winks with his eyes, and he looks around, and he looks at his friends, he looks at other members of his family, and he just makes litzanis with his eyes. Yeah, all this musar, yeah, it's a bunch of baloney. All the musar, let. Well, he winks with his eye. That's why it's cool. That's why we're focusing on the eye. Ha'ayin hamela eges birimizosa, an eye that mocks with its winking al musar ha'av, concerning the rebuke of a father, umevezes likvutzei toichachas so'em. Now, I told you it means the love, but here, according to the intervention, it means the also toichacha. It means that he mocks, is mevaze, the collection of words of rebuke that have been sent his way by his mother, the sidrei amoreha, and the order of her words, the collection of everything that his mother has said to him in his life, he takes it and rejects it and makes nothing of it and mocks it. Ki derech nashim la, and because women have a tendency to he says about her ki derech nashim la. That's where the way women talk.
Having the time of month.
She's what?
Yeah, that's right.
She's what?
No, Rachel said Derech Nashim Li. It's the time of month that you know they're cranky.
They're cranky. Okay. Yikra uha. What's going to be the punishment to this individual who has mocked his parents? Gimul on shayhu. What his punishment will be? Sheha orvim hamitsuyim etzel hanachal. The ravens that frequent the spring, the nachal, the valley. Hema yinakru ha'ayin. They will rip out. Poke out his eye. Yavoi ha'arev ha'achzari. So here it says the erv, the raven, which is cruel. Shenemar levnei erv asher yikra'u. It says in Tehillim that the Kadosh Baruch Hu has to feed the bnei erev. Why are the bnei, the children of the erev, crying to our Kadosh Baruch Hu? Because their mother has abandoned them. So here we're dealing with over here something that so that's the erev is a cruel creature. It will come and it will midah keneged midah. The yipara mimi shehere achzorius and will punish a person who has shown cruelty lahalig al ha'avohaim to mock a father and a mother. Ulam, but this the oire that's cruel will only bring death, will only bring tsar. But the oire will not benefit from eating the eye. It seems like the eye is delicious, but the oire is not going to eat the eye. Ulam hema lo yochlu es ayin ki achzonim hema, because they are cruel, they don't deserve it. Velo yehanu min achzar, and they're not going to benefit from the person who's cruel. Instead, v'yochlu ha'bnei hanesha harachmonim, the bnei hanesha who have compassion. Shnemer, it says in Pasuk, Kinesher Yoyer Kinoi, Al Goyz Lov Yirachev, that the Nesher, when it lands on its nest, does not come upon the nest suddenly, in order not to scare the children. The Nesher delicately lands upon the nest, in order not to scare the children. Heim yochlu es ayin v'yehanu min ha'achzar. They will eat the ayin and will have pleasure from the achzar, from this cool person who has mocked his parents. Okay, that's the pasuk al derech pshat. Now let's look in the Rashi. Rashi over here says li kihas aim. I don't know how to read these words. Maybe you can help me. What?
Likas
aim. What are the next two words in the Rashi? Likmotim hanikbotsim. Hanikbotsim.
The frowns, the wrinkles
on the mother. So according in Chassoy, what it means, are we going to Rashi, v'nikoyim b'fnei imo, now what's next word, v'nikohin b'fnei imo,
they gather
before the mother. So this means he makes fun of his mother as an old lady who has wrinkles. Okay, yeah, that's how some of Farshim, when they learn, that's what Rashi is saying. I saw that, and that's how the article explains, according to some of the commentators, is that a child, he has an old mother. Mother is 100 years old. She has wrinkles on her face. So he says, what does she know? She's an old lady. She has wrinkles. She's past her.
She's a wrinkled old lady.
That's what he says. That's an expression that leaks.
It's emotions. They can read the emotions from your facial.
Likmotim hanikbotsim v'nikohim b'fnei imo.
So she expresses all her emotions. A mother is full of emotions of love and upset and worry. So on her face, you see the gathering of all these emotions, and he ignores it.
And he makes it more than that. He is v'savus. He disgraces her. He disgraces her. Loshon yikas amim. Yikas means to collect. Kivutzas amim. V'hayud yisoid is part of the root of the word. Kamo yifas v'yalas chein. Okay, I'm not sure what yifas means, but v'yalas chein, this word means it's part of the shorish. Yik ruha, loshon tinoker, nikras hatsur means to be uprooted. Uproot the whole of the rock.
It doesn't matter what those words mean. It's the
part of the shorish. The yud is part of the shorish. Okay, it says over here to be uprooted. Yavai ha'orev shehu achzari. So Rashi elaborates a little bit more. The ha'orev, the raven, which is a cruel creature, albanov. It's cruel to its children. V'karua, it will rip open the person's eye socket. But v'lo yochlena, but the orev will not eat the eye. V'lo yehane ba v'yavay nesher. The nesher will come shuhu rachmani, who has rachmanis albana v'yochlena, and will eat it. V'yehane ba, and will derive benefit from it. Ha orev achzari. Where do we find that the orev is a cool creature? K'moshe nemar livnei orev asher yikrohu v'yanesher rachmani shenemar yisoeu alev raso, to carry it upon its wings. That the nesher when it carries his children from one location to the other. It carries the children on its wings, on the wings, in order that they should not be hit by an arrow. If that someone shoots an arrow from below ground against the nesher says, better let the arrow penetrate my body and not allow my children to suffer. So that is another example of what we see, that the nesher is a compassionate creature. It has compassion, according to Rashi, in the way it carries its children. According to the Mitzudos, it has compassion when it lands upon the nest of its children. Two different types of birds. Again, going back, is what exactly, let's review the different perushim, what it means. Likias aim, a child, he mocks, he despises. The likias aim, according to the Mitzudos, everyone basically says likias means the collection, the gathering of the mother. The big question is, what exactly are we, what are we collecting from the mother? According to the words of the Mitzudot, we are collecting the words of rebuke, Toichacha. The mother in her lifetime has given a series, a seder of Musar to her child, and the child does not take these words to heart, and instead he spits it back out at his mother. According to the Mitzudot, Rashi, it appears either refers to emotions, that the emotions that the mother expresses, the love and the frustration that the mother expresses towards her child, and according to other commentators I saw in the article, it means that he just mocks her physical appearance. He says that she's an old lady. Look at her. It's not pleasant to look at this woman. Look at her face. It's all wrinkled. She's not an attractive woman. That's a very disgusting thing for a person to say about any woman. Allah has kan l'kama to say about one's own mother. And therefore, what is the midah k'neged midah? There are two creatures. It's not really clear. I'm sure there's a lot deeper interpretation of what this means. What this means exactly, there are two creatures that are going to come. There's the creature called the oireif and the creature called the nesher. And these two creatures together, teamwork, are going to take revenge against this person. The oireif is going to bring destruction, is going to bring death, going to pluck out his eye, and the nesher is going to finish off the job, is going to eat it. Why these two creatures? These two creatures represent a spectrum of cruelty and rachmanis. This person was cruel to the mother who had rachmanis upon him. Parents had rachmanis upon him, and he rejected that rachmanis with cruelty. So I guess, midah k'neged midah, we need two creatures, one that represents cruelty to punish him, and one that represents rachmanis also to punish him by eating his eye after it's been plucked out of the socket. Okay, this is the pshat, simple pshat in the pasuk. Just incidentally, the only other place I came across just by accident yesterday, because I want to talk about this a little later on, is there's a very bizarre medrash. I have no idea what this means. I'm just pointing this out, and maybe you'll have some understanding of what this means, because the combination of these two birds together found to be very bizarre. The Hashgacha Pratis, and coming across this medrash about Yohir ben Menashe. Yohir ben Menashe, He was killed. He was killed in the Milchama of Ai. So it says in the Medrash, the reason why the people of Ai killed him, you can see this Medrash in the Ishei HaTanach. In the Ishei HaTanach, it brings this very obscure Medrash, because he paskin that an oirev is osir, and a nesher is mutter. Now, nesher is not mutter. Nesher is a creature which is has all four simonim. All four simonim. So I don't know exactly, maybe he just meant that, he meant to say that it's a good, that it's a kind bird. He let the world know that the difference between these two birds, and because the people of Ai were not pleased with his assessment of these two birds, they targeted him for assassination. And that's why he died in the Muhammad of Ai. And this is extremely bizarre. I'm not sure I'm not saying this medrash right, but you see over here, I just want to point out that you do find a medrash that also connects that takes these two birds and applies it to Yohir ben Menashe in the Milchama of Ai. Maybe because
see that name once in Chumash.
Yohir ben Menashe,
yeah.
But he says that Yohir ben Menashe. Okay, Yohir ben Menashe, it says right. It doesn't say beferish that Yohir ben Menashe was killed in Milchama of Ai. It says that 36 people were killed.
Yeah.
And Chazal say it says a chaf kish loishim v'sheish ish. We have a tradition that it was one person who was equal to the majority of the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin is 70, so the majority of the Sanhedrin is 36. He was shachol k'neged the Sanhedrin. Who could it possibly have been? Chazal say we have a mesora. It doesn't say beferish anywhere. Yohir ben Menashe. What about Yohir ben Menashe? What was his unique contribution to Klal Yisrael? He was mechadesh that there's a difference between these two birds. There's called an oirev and there's a nesher. An oirev is cool, a nesher is molei rachm.
The only place you see that name
of the Masay. Masay, when the Muhammad, Yoher Rav Nasha, he had. We called him Chavos Yoher. Chavos Yoher because he had no sons. Yoher, according to Medrash, he did have sons, but his sons died. That's why he named it after him. Suddenly he lived after himself because he only had daughters. And daughters, once they would get married, they would take on the name of their father, so he wanted a Zecher for himself. So he called them Chavos Yoher. Because he did not have sons, the sons died. Okay, I just want to make the point. Now, the Medrash here probably makes it a little bit easier to understand the depth of this pasuk, and it says that there are two mitzvahs in the Torah in which the Torah has told us the reward, and they are Kibud Avoim and Shiluach HaKein. These two mitzvahs, L'man Yarichu Yemecho, L'man Yitavloch, Arichas Yomim. And these two mitzvahs, why did the Torah specifically mention these two mitzvahs? Because these two mitzvahs represent the easiest mitzvah and the most difficult mitzvah. Shiluach HaKein, Chazal's understanding, is the easiest mitzvah. Why? Because you don't have to prepare for it. Any mitzvah, this is a good Chassidus Shavart. The whole essence of Chassidus is Hachana, preparation. That's their main contribution to Klal Yisrael. I shouldn't say, don't kill me for saying that, but that's one of the main Yisoidus of Chassidus is Hachana, a l'shem yichud, to prepare for the mitzvah in the proper way. What shluch hakein is the only mitzvah where there's no hachana. Ki kore kan sipar baderech. You can't prepare for it. I know in the newspapers today there are advertisements where you can do it, but that's not the ideal way to do the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah shabol yotcha b'larni preparation. Therefore, it's considered to be an easy mitzvah. Kibud avoim is a mitzvah which is demanding of people who have given you everything that you have, you owe to them. Chazal in fact say that Ashrei, fortunate is a person who never met his parents, because there's no living human being that is going to be innocent for not being nichshol to some degree in kibud and moira avoim. It's impossible to fully fulfill what the Torah really demands of a person, kibud avoim. So it's in Chazal make it very clear that it's the most difficult mitzvah. Shluch HaKein is the easiest mitzvah. You can't prepare for it. It just happens. It comes upon you suddenly, and you don't have to pay a penny for it. You just send away the mother, take the chicks, take the eggs. It couldn't be easier. It doesn't cost a penny, and you don't have to do any hachamis. No preparation. You don't know what's coming. And these two mitzvahs, the Torah says, what is the reward? Arichas yomim, l'man yitavloch v'harachto yomim. So, and what is the message? Everything. These are the two extremes. And if the two extremes, I'm promising you long life and life in the next world. Alachas kam v'kama. Everything in between will also have arichas yomim and l'man yitavloch.
Someone said, saying kaddish during that year for a parent.
Yeah.
Is mida keneged mida.
What do you mean?
Parent says, could you do this for me? Sure, as soon as I get around to it.
Yeah.
All of a sudden the parent dies.
Yeah.
Everything else when I get around to it. First I have to make sure I get
there. Say Kaddish. Alright. So we have here these two mitzvahs. According to the Medrash, that's exactly what the pasuk means. The person comes along and basically he rejects Yados. He rejects the entire Torah. And the way he rejects the entire Torah is by referring to the two extreme mitzvahs. Ayin, an eye, meaning a person who has an outlook. Ayin means a perspective in life. A perspective in life where Tilak, he mocks the Torah. How does he mock the Torah? He mocks the reward, the schar v'oinesh. Le'ov, ov means the mitzvah of kibud avoim. The savus, and he despises, he disgraces, likahas aim. Instead of reading it with a hey, all the Medrash says, make believe it's the zaches, because the hey and the ches look alike, so you can exchange hey ches. So kichas, to take the mother. Take the mother, the prohibition, lo tikach aim al abanim, don't take the mitzvah, the prohibition of taking the mother together with the child, but instead send away the mother. He mocks this mitzvah. A person that has a perspective in life that Torah is nonsense and everything about Torah, we're focusing on the reward of Laman Yitav Lach V'Harach Yamim, the reward from the kind of mitzvahs is nothing. This person is in a lot of trouble. He has problems. He has issues. And his issues will be addressed by two creatures. And the two creatures are going to be the Orvei Nochal and the Bnei Nosher. The Orvei Nochal. Arvei Nachan, the Medrash does not explain the significance of why specifically these two creatures are going to address his issues, but I was thinking that these two creatures appear prominently in the Torah. The Orev is the creature that appears by the Mabul. When the world was destroyed and the world was going to start new, the second edition was about to be published. Hashem destroyed the first edition of the world and he was about to decide, let's start all over again. Who was the creature that was meant to reveal if there's if the world has dried the Oirev? Hashem, Noach opened the Teva and he sent the Oirev, the raven, to see if the waters of the world, the waters have subsided so man can start fresh again. It was a new beginning. He was really the first creature that went out to the new world. Think about it, because they were all locked up in the Teva, isolated. And Noach sent out the earth, but the earth came back because the world wasn't ready, but at least it went out. It went out into the new world. It went out into the new world. It was a new beginning. The Nesher, Bo'ese Eschem al Kanfei Nesharim. The Nesher was the bird which took Klal Yisrael, at least homiletically, out of Egypt. We left Mitzrayim, the beginning of the Am HaNifchar. So the Oirev was the beginning of the new world for mankind. The first creature to go out into the new world, and the Nesher was the creature which was the beginning of Klal Yisrael, which took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim to make them into the Am HaNifchar. Al Kanfei Nesharim. Kibud Av V'Em, Chazal tell us, is not just a mitzvah for Klal Yisrael. Kibud Av V'Em is a mitzvah for the Umos HaOlam. The Oirev was the beginning of a new man. It was a new beginning for mankind. The Mabul, the world was destroyed. Hashem says, we're going to start again. We have to see if the world is ready. He sends out the Oirev into the new world. That's for mankind. Kibud Av V'Em is the basic fundamental mitzvah that is true for every creature, every living creature in the world. The Nesher, Shluch HaKein, is something that's miyuchet for Klal Yisrael. This idea that to send away the mother bird, Lo Sikach Im Halabonim, this idea is something that's a special mitzvah for Klal Yisrael. And that alludes to the Nesher. I think there's a parallel. If you want to dash this in a homiletic sense, we have over here a person who has the perspective of Ayin Tilag La'av V'Savos D'Kach Seim. There are these two mitzvahs. One mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em is also Shaykh to the Umos HaOlam. The other mitzvah is a type of more spiritual mitzvah of Lo Sikach Eid. There's a mitzvah to send away the mother and take the birds. This is for Klal Yisrael. A person does not have a proper hashkafa, a Torahic hashkafa in these mitzvahs, has issues, and the Oirev and the Nesher, which also have played prominent roles in the Torah, will be there to address his issues. Okay, let's go now to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Ches begins a new section. Shloisha Hema Niflu Mimeni. There are three things that Shlomo Melech says are wondrous. Niflu Mimeni, they're more wondrous than me. I have no understanding of why these things exist, how they work, how they operate. The Arba. Now the Arba, it's written Beloshon Nikeva, but it's read Beloshon Zohar. That's a very interesting type of Krivich Sif. Arba lo yidatim, I'm not aware of. Now you all know that the rules of numbers, I don't know why, are the opposite of the rules of Zohar Nekeva. Generally in Lashon Kodesh, a Hebrew word has a hey at the end. And a word, a Zohar, a masculine word, does not have a hey at the end. But in the number system, it's just the opposite. In the number system, for whatever reason, when you want to refer to a number in the masculine form, then you append a hey. So our ba'ah with a hey is masculine. And our ba with an ayin at the end, without, is feminine. So the rules of numbers are the opposite of the rules of generally the rule of Zohar Nekeva for all other nouns, all other items in the Torah.
Yeah, so he, the noun here.
So exactly, there is no noun. There is no noun here. Exactly. Here it says shloisha. Okay, shloisha. There is only
what?
Well, we're going to list. You pasuk yutes. Pasuk yut. Right, right. So pasuk yutes is going to enumerate the items. The derech. Now, derech is a very complicated word. Derech can be zachar and nekeva. It's one of the words which can be both zachar and nekeva. Neshama, by the way, also can be a zachar and nekeva. Neshama, it's tohar and a tohira. Okay, there's a collection of words which can be both zachar and nekeva, but derech is one of those words. So here we have the word shloisha, and we're going to describe. Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be the derech. Okay, it could be the nesh. Let's just leave it that. But we have here the word arba, which can be the zachar and nekeva. The reason why the medrash explains the reason why it's both zachar and nekeva is because this arba is going to refer to znus. It's going to refer to, just jump ahead, and the pasuk chaf came derech isha mino efes ochla umochasapia v'yarmoloi paalti oven. It's going to refer to an act of zima, of gili arayos, and in gili arayos, we're basically going to describe now cover-ups, the crime of the sin of covering up an avera. That's the theme of this of these next two psukim. And when it comes to covering up an avera, there is no difference between a man and a woman. When a man and a woman sin, they both equally are willing to do anything that they need to do to cover up their avera, whether it's the zohar or the nekeva. That's why the Medrash says the arba in this pasuk is a krivach siv. It's spelled b'lashon lashon nekeva, which is really what we're, the focus of the pasuk, because we're talking about a woman who does a znus, but we should not forget that we're also referring to the man. The man also is going to help her cover up the avera. Now, what are these things? Let's read the pasuk. Next pasuk, we'll come back to the mitzvah in a moment. Number one is derech ha-nesher b'shamayim, the derech of the nesher in heaven. Eagles, an eagle, whatever, it's not really an eagle, whatever, vulture, whatever the nesher is, it plots its course in heaven. There's no way, what?
The ayot
is the vulture. Okay, so the nesher is it's some other type. I don't know whatever. We translate it as an eagle, but we know that it can't be an eagle because Chazal say the nesher lacks all four simonim, and the eagle that we do know has an extra toe, has an extra finger on its leg, so it cannot. And so it does have one of the four simonim, so it cannot possibly be what Chazal are referring to as the nesher. So whatever it is, some say it's more mythical, it's more a mystical creature, which we don't really know what it is. Whatever it is, but the nesher will translate as a nesher eagle. Derech nesher b'ashamayim, when the nesher travels in heaven, there is no way to trace its path. There's no road signs, not at least yet. Okay, they have not yet hovercrafts. I'm sure they're trying very hard to create hovercrafts. When they make hovercrafts, they're probably going to be road signs in Shemayim, fast lane, slow lane. Get pulled over for a ticket, there'll be a shoulder. But in the meantime, exit signs, right? I'm sure they'll drones, exactly. Today they have already all the drachim, isolated areas, no fly zone, this zone, that zone. We all know about this. So, but derech klal in ancient times, there's no way to trace the derech, the road of the nesher b'ashamayim. Number two, derech nochosh alei tsur, a snake that's path upon a rock. Now, the first will explain a little more, they'll give a different interpretation. It's hard for a human being to understand how does a snake move. A snake can move very quickly. It lacks legs. It pushes itself along the ground. What is it? What's the expression?
Slithers.
It slithers. It's an incredible technique.
Doesn't mean that you can't
trace. There are different interpretations.
There are no
footprints. That's one interpretation. There are multiple interpretations. So one interpretation is there's no footprints. There's no way to track. It's there's no way. Others say it's just that the whole mitzias, that it's able to travel, is remarkable. Without legs, what other creature is there in this world that moves, has mobility, and lacks legs? Doesn't exist such a thing. Every creature has arms, legs, has some type of thing which it uses to propel itself. A snake has nothing, and yet it's able to move its whole body and to move from place to place. It's remarkable. Now, taking that approach, you go back to Derech Nesher, also, it's how does an eagle fly? A little teeny creature, it weighs almost nothing, and it's able to go and fly from, travel the entire world, get from place to place. It's remarkable. A plane, you ever go on an airplane? You go look at the airplane through the window. How in the world is this monstrosity, the size of a building, able to take me from here across the Atlantic Ocean? It's mind-boggling. And after all the science, and after you'll sit down and you explain to me all the science, the Wright brothers, well, they were Mechadesh, it's still mind-boggling. So the same way it's an incredible phenomenon for us to understand how a plane flies, the same thing is true for a Nesher. The Nesher, a little teeny creature, can flap its wings and it can get from place to place. It's something which Shlomo Melech says, Niflu'u mimenu.
Why is it more so than a regular bird? A regular bird flies by flapping its wings.
So also in the Hanami, so we're just giving one. We're giving one example. We're just giving.
Flies by finding the currency, you don't see it flapping its wings.
Okay, so you want to say Nesher? There's more of a chiddush. There's more chokhmah in the flight of a Nesher than there is in other birds, and maybe in the Hanami. Hiderach Nesher. So that's this is one approach. Derech Nesher just doesn't mean the path. It means the science. Shlomo Hamelch, who is chokhmah mikol adam, understood the chokhmah sa'olam, still was nishtoimim, was in awe. With Niflu'u, it's wondrous, the science of a Nesher flying in heaven. Number two, he's in awe of the koyach of a Nachash to move, the mobility of a Nachash. Number three, Derech Aniyah V'lev Yam, the koyach of a ship to travel in the sea. Now, again, the other pshat is that there's no road. There is no road. And after the ship passes, very quickly does the wake of the ship dissipate. The waters come in. I mean, you can see, you see a big ship. You can see it leaves over a trail for, but after whatever, couple of minutes, after a couple of hours, for sure, it's gone. And it leaves behind no tracks. Derech Aniyah V'lev Yam. And number four is the Nesher, the Nachash, the Aniyah, the Derech Gever. So now we come to number four, the Derech Gever be'alma. This refers to marital relations. Derech of a Gever be'alma. There are no. So either, again, there are many interpretations. Either it means that there's no record. After a Maisa Znus is over, not even a Maisa Znus, after a regular an act that is permitted, after a short period of time, there is no record that this event ever happened. Chazal said that a woman can be poilet shechva zera up till 3 days, but seemingly after 3 days, it dissipates, it disappears, the body removes it, it naturally disappears, and all of the scientific tests in the world will not be able to prove that anything actually happened. Immediately thereafter, obviously you can prove it, but after a period of time passes, there is no tracks. There's no track for the Nesher, there's no trace of the Derech Nesher, there's no trace for the Nachash, there's no trace for the Aniyah, and there is no trace that an act of marital relations has occurred after a certain period of time has passed. Or, the other approach, the science, the fact that a man has a taiva, is any scientist able to explain how it works, hormones, a person has a taiva for Nashim? It's something which is mind-boggling, it's something which, with all the science, why is it natural, is it healthy for a young man to have a desire for a woman? It's something which is, Shlomo Melech says, this is in the category of Niflu'u Mimeni. And if Shlomo can say the Lachas Kama Kama, we can say that. Then he goes on to say, after he says the four, he says the fifth. And the fifth now is, Kein so to Derech Isha Pasikhof, Derech Isha Mino Ofes, a woman who commits an act of sin, Ochla is a euphemism, she does the Avera, she wipes her mouth, she cleans away the crumbs, the Omer, and she says, Loi for Alti Oven, a cover up to a sin. So here he's coming to say that when the people, he's coming to define human nature. When people in this world are always Nichshol in Averos. Kachi Dargoy Shel Oilam. People have taiva for mammon, for arayos, for kavod, for you name it, every type of avera. And then after the person does the avera, it's human nature to cover up the sin. And they cover up the sin to the degree where they don't want there to be any record, any trace the sin ever existed, equivalent to the way you can never trace the tracks of the Nesher, the Nachash, the Aniyah, and the Derech Gever Ba'alman. There's a lot more going on, obviously. Let's over here in the Mitzudos, we'll do one thing at a time. Let's go back to Pasik Yudches in the Mitzudos Tavit. Shloisha Hema. Ratzalayma. Kamo she'ela ha'shloisha. Hema niflu v'nelmu mimeni. Just like the three things, the first three things of the Nesher, the Nachash, and the Ania, those three are hidden from me. V'nelmu mimeni. Libli das derech mahalcham. There's no way you can trace their path, plot their course. Achas shaholchu, after they have passed, kein devar harivi lo yadati oisam lahakir adavar achas shenasa. Likewise, the fourth thing also cannot be traced, and that's going to refer to the derech kever bialma that cannot be traced, and that's going to lead into the next pasuk of covering up sin. Pasuk yutes derech hanesher haderech shaholach by hanesher. According to the mitzudos, this means there's no way to trace the path of the nesher. Kasha. Farach letzad avir hashemayim ein ledaso, so there's no way to know where it went. Ki farach ba'avir ve'ein aderech nikar, and it's gone, and the derech is not nikar, you cannot trace where it has gone. Derech nochash, haderech shochalach b'ha nochash, ala sela, ein ledaso, so ki ein miderech haregel nikar, because there are no footsteps. Nikar, ala sela.
Footprints.
Sorry, no footprints, nikar, ala sela. Af ki hanochash sholich al gwai, af. Because ki hanocha sholich al gochoin, it travels on its belly. The akvoisav lo no dohu, and there are no footprints. Derech ania ha derech sholcha bo hasina b'so chizek oimik hayam, in the middle of the sea. Ein ladaso so ki miyad kishteilcha mamokam mahalcha. As soon as it leaves one location, yashuvu hamayim le'esanoi, the water returns to its toikef, to its power, to its strength. V'lo yukar. Okay, now we go to number four is the arbo lo yidatim. What is the fourth derech gever? The yishve lohem derech harvi. And now we're going to focus on the fourth one that's going to be equal to the first three. V'hu derech no'uf gever ba'alma. According to the mitzudos, there are many interpretations. According to the mitzudos, when it says derech gever ba'alma, refers to sin. We're not discussing, like I told you originally, to a normal, healthy act of man and woman. We're dealing here, according to the interpretation of the mitzudos, of derech gever ba'alma means sin. When a man is mezana with an eisha sish, with a woman that's out of wedlock, he's not married to. Who derech no'uf gever ba'alma? What's the lema? Bibu'ula, a woman, of course, we're dealing with a woman who's a bu'ula, so we're not dealing with a basula, because the basula is nicker after the ma'isabiyah, so the basula are lacking. We're dealing with a bu'ula, shalachar ha'maisa, lo yukar ha'dover gam b'shneim b'noif v'no'efes, it's not nicker, both the man and the woman, what has happened. Now, how does it apply to the next pasuk? So pasuk chaf goes on and says in the sudos, kein derech rotzulaymar, ki kein hu ha'derech shalo isha ha'meno'efes. Pasuk chaf is an explanation of the derech gever ba'alma. According to the mitzudos, there are only a total of four things, as indeed the pasuk starts off by telling us three or four, the fourth thing, and pasuk chaf is an explanation of derech gever ba'alma. Ratzolaymar, ki kein hu haderech shel isha hamino efes, a woman who commits adultery, misateres zinosa, she hides her act of adultery, loymar to say lo pa'alti oven, hoil sins ve'in mi makir, no one can know the difference. The ochas b'mashul, we use here a euphem mashul, ki ilu ochla dover ma, she eats food, umika neches pia, she wipes her mouth, lobal hiya nira im ochla, if she has, so that cannot be detected that she has eaten, the ulai yigane oisa loymar, haloy al ki yidmu bedover ha hester, and perhaps the yigane oisa loymar, they will try to despise them, to say haloy al ki yidmu bedover ha hester, eshloisha soele, milea libchem lasa isma seyem, the pasuk over here is trying to be megane osam, that you think haloi al ki yidmu bedover ha hester shel shloisha soele malalibam lasayis maseyem. You think that just like the other three things in this world, since we do find in this world there is such a reality in this world where things can be hidden. Things in this world can indeed be hidden, and there's no record whatsoever. People are misled to believe that if in Teva there are things that there are no record, in their maisim, in their actions, also there is no record. V'hine me Hashem lo yiru, and they think that Hashem does not see. Im ki ein kol dover nelam, but the truth is it's not so. Imki in kol davar nela mimena. But the truth is, that is the big mistake that man makes. He makes the mistake by looking at the teva. He looks at the derech nesher. He looks at the derech nochash. He looks at the derech ania, and he makes the mistake and thinks just like in teva, these things there is no record. So too, there is no record of maisim roim, of evil deeds, even good deeds. And the truth is, Hashem knows everything. Everything has a din v'cheshben. Okay. Now, let's take a look at the Rashis. Rashi, Pasuk Yud Ches. Pasuk Yud Ches, Niflu Mimeni, Shlomo HaMelech says there are three things that are hidden, are wondrous. So, Nichsu means they are covered. Mishacholfu Me'enai, Ve'ene Yodeh Lehechon Holchu, I do not know where they went, Shememaharin Lehisoser Minoayin, they're hidden. So, Derech Pshat, according to the Mitzudos, the way we learn the Mitzudos, it fits very well with this Rashi. Rashi appears to be also appears to be saying the same interpretation is that there are three things. Niflu means hidden. Hidden means they're covered over. I told you the other pshat before that it means they're wondrous. The science of these things is beyond our understanding. But that's more of a drush. Al derech pshat, the pasuk means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what a person does. People make a mistake and think the same way these things are covered, they're hidden, everything else is hidden. Next words, pasuk chaf, u'mochasa, a woman does an aver, she wipes her mouth, koyfe pia, lamata, she bends her mouth, lamata. After a person eats food, so you don't want someone to see that's what's in your mouth, so you bend your face downward. You bend the pitcher down. Mocha, you turn it down. V'hofach al pion, you turn the pitcher upside down. Ochla, ochla here is a term used, losha nikia, diber hakosov, it's a clean expression to refer to the maisa of znus. These two things are always compared one to another because they both involve pleasure. Eating food and marital relations represent the ultimate pleasure in this world, and that's why the two are always interchanged one with the other. According to the Medrash says that niflu mimeni refers to Pesach, Matzah, and Moror. That's what it says. I'm not making this up. Pesach, Matzah, Moror. This is the Medrash by Yikra Rabba. The Yikra Rabba says that these three mitzvahs that Hashem has given us to commemorate the Yetzias Mitzrayim are wondrous. Pesach, Matzah, Umara. The Arba, the four minim of the Lulav and Eshrog. The Dalid minim, this is Lo Yidatim, which means, it's even more than Niflu, it means that there's no way in the Torah to identify that the Torah wants us to take on Sukkis, an Esrog, a Lulav, Hadassim, and Aravos. Arvei Nochal. What are Arvei Nochal? Aravos. There are many, many branches, different species of vegetation that fit the description of Arvei Nochal. There are many, many different types of fruit that could fit the description of a pre-Eitz Hadar. There are many types of branches that fit the description of Kapos Tamarim. Why? It's impossible, according to the Medrash, this is what Shlomo HaMelech is saying, it's impossible to identify from a pasuk in the Torah, the Arba'ah, what the four minim are. How then do we know what they are? This is part of a very powerful yisod. It's all based on tradition. Halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim. Vayikra Rabba, Perek Lamed, Section Tes Vav. And the Medrash elaborates very much on the Arba, and it goes through all the various, the whole list of candidates, of other things which would fit the description of Kapos Tamarim, Pre-Eitz Hadar, and Arvei Nochal, and what else they leave out. And the Hadassim, Eitz Avos, and yet it says, there are many, so why do we have these four? Because when the day is over, the reason why we do mitzvos is because of Halacha, L'Moshe Mitzrayim. It's because of emuna in the Messiah. The Arba'ah, the four minim lo yidatim, I don't know what they are. And as far as the significance of eating matzah, Pesach kol mi shloimar shloisha dvarim ilu ba-pesach lo yotzdei chayvasai, Pesach matzah morar, it all sounds very nice. Matzah, lo hispiku, Spitzekom lahachnitz, they did not have enough time to let their dough ferment. It all sounds very nice, but when you really think about it very deeply, it's not enough. it's not enough to really understand why we should eat matzah to commemorate Yitzias Mitzrayim, why Pesach captures Yitzias Mitzrayim, why Morah is important. When the day is over, the reason why we follow these three things is because they're niflu'u mimeni, they are wondrous. They are in a category, in a league that's by itself. Okay, so this is very powerful, very, very nice. Okay, Menish. Okay, let's now go to the next. Okay, another interesting idea. We have here this Derech Agav, it says, Derech Ania Velev Yam. Have you ever learned Masechta Kalim, Shedetairos? Mr. Weiss is our resident Bucky in Mishnayos. So, in a boat is an aniya, is a ship. Let's say we have aniya is a ship. Let's say we have a small little canoe, and it holds less than 40 saw of water. If you were to fill it up, and it's made from wood, according to the laws of Masechta Kelim, the laws of, should it be mekabel tuma? Absolutely, it's a kli. It has every single condition you can possibly want. It's a kli. It has a toich. It's made from wood. And it holds less than 40 saw. It's metaltel mole v'reikon. And yet, what is the halacha? A ship, a utensil that is meant for the water, is tar. Why? Based upon this pasuk, of course, with halacha l'moshe Sinai, the aniya is compared to the yam. Just like the yam is tar, the aniya is tahira. And this is the pasuk Chazal quote in this very mysterious halacha, a ship, a small little raft, a large ship, anyway, would not be mekabel tuma because it's too large. It's too large to be carried. Metaltel mole v'reikon. But something small, a small little raft, a small little fishing ship would normally fit the qualifications. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai aniya tahira. It's a pasuk in Mishlei. This pasuk aniya v'lev yam. Okay, then the Gemara discusses something interesting. What happens if you are... Now it's very bizarre. I actually read you this medrash. It sounds like a space age chazal for a different time. Let's say you're traveling in the sky, it says. And all of a sudden in the sky you see a kantzim, you see a nest. And in the nest there is a mother with her chicks. Are you mechuyev to get out of your spacecraft and be mekayim the mitzvah of shiluach hakein? Bishlema, when you're on, you're traveling on the roads, you're traveling on the 17, and you pull over to a rest stop, and ki korei kansi parlufonecha baderech. Listen, I'm traveling on the road. I find the kansi par. Los is a lav ananase. Los sikach eim alabonim. Shaleach tishlach. Send away. If you want, no, that's a machlokes. There's a machlokes. You shalim. If only the halacha was, if you want to take it. But let's say I have no one. Who today has an interest in taking eggs? No one has an interest today. But according to many rishonim, even if you have no interest, there's still a mitzvah. There's still a mitzvah to send away the mother and take the eggs for yourself. Even though lechatchila I don't have any interest in eating these eggs. I'm afraid. Who knows? They might be poisonous. I know from eggs lying out, they might be disease. Who knows? It doesn't make a difference. Xeris akasav, there's a special mitzvah. But what happens is a very, very bizarre medrash. I'll read you the exact words, I don't remember. Here it is. Here it says, Elamiyata, Motza Kain Bashamayim. You're traveling in heaven. And as you're traveling, you see flying around a nest with the mother and the chicks. So are you mechuyev to go separate the mother from the chicks? So the answer is no. Why? Because it says ki yikorei kansi par lefonecha baderech. So you're traveling on the highway in heaven. So the Gemara says no. Derech, it says derech nesher bashamayim. It says that the heaven is called a derech. This pasuk says there's a derech nesher bashamayim. Hachinah demechayev b'shiluch hakein. The Gemara says no. Derech nesher ikri, derech stoma lo ikri. In Shamayim, it's not called a derech. In Shamayim, it's called a derech nesher. It's not called your ordinary road. And you're only mechuyev to be mekayim the mitzvah of shluach hakein on stomach. stam derech, not on a derech nesher. The Gemara gives one more example. The Gemara in Shabbos, what about if you're traveling on a ship? This can happen. This is more realistic. You're traveling on a ship, and as you're traveling on a ship, you see in the water, some a nest. You see a nest, it can happen. A bird made a nest in some shallow pond, and there's a nest, and there's a mother hovering over its eggs in the water. And you're traveling on a raft, you're traveling on a ship. Are you mechuyev to do the mitzvah of shluch hakein? The answer is yes. Minayin l'svina shita, that you mechuyev, because that is called a derech. It says in the pasuk here, derech ania v'lev yom. The derech of a ship in the heart of the yam. The Gemara says derech ani is not the same as derech hanesha. I'm not sure why. It's called derech. The yam is called derech, but the nesha, the heaven, the pathway to heaven is not called the derech. That's called derech nesha. Okay, I don't know exactly what this means. I just want to find something very interesting here in the footnote in the Sefer Divrei Sofrim. He quotes from the Rugged Shava. The Rugged Shava, when he lived, airplanes were in their infancy. And they asked him a question: if you fly in an airplane, are you mechuyev to say tefillas haderech? This was the question posed to the Rugged Shava. We all take it for granted today. Of course you say tefillas haderech when you go on an airplane. But they asked to the Rugged Shava, do you make tefillas haderech? So he passed him without blinking, you do not. It's a fair shugamara. Because tefillas haderech is the derech. Stam derech. Shamayim is not called a derech. It's derech nesher ikri. Just like when it comes to Shluch HaKein, there is no mitzvah because it's called Derech Nesher, it's Feresh Gemara, in Chulin, and there, if you were to somehow be flying, whatever this can possibly mean, you're flying in the air. And as you're flying, you happen to pass a cane, there's no mitzvah because that's not called Ki Motzei Kantzipa Lefonecha Ba Derech. Derech V'loi Derech Nesher. Likewise, when Chazal was talking to recite Tfilas HaDerech, it's when you're traveling on Stam HaDerech. If you're traveling in the air, you're traveling on Derech Nesher. There's no Tfilas HaDerech Nesher. There's a Tfilas HaDerech and not Tfilas Derech Nesher. This was the Psak Halacha from the Rugged Shava when they asked him this question. So Aniyah then would, because Aniyah, as the Gemara concludes, that Aniyah, I don't know why, but Aniyah is called a Derech, so you would make a Brach when you travel on the ocean. However, Halacha L'maisa, we don't accept this. Rav Zevin, the one who quotes this Maisa, he quotes this Maisa, he says it's Dover Pashta, we don't accept this Halacha. This is the Psak Halacha V'loy L'maisa. It's accepted by all the Gedolei Yisrael that you do make a Brach when you fly in an airplane, because the derech, it's not totally in the derech, it's totally in the sakana. If you're in a matziv of sakana, most places can learn that the bracha was not established to apply specifically to a halachic derech. It was applied to a situation of sakana. And that's the ikar. Flying is a sakana, so it doesn't have to be a perfect derech. A derech nesher is also enough of a sakana to recite the tefillas haderech. But it's very fascinating to take a pasuk in Mishnah and the Gemara Masech Tehulin and make this concoction to ask this halachic shaila, and in fact to get an amazing response from the Rugged Shava of what he said concerning this issue. Okay, now there is another important halacha that comes from this sugya, and that is lishna ma'al yinokat.
What does he do? Because the Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara uses the terminology over a
Oyver hayam, not derech.
He's saying it based on what we call
right.
It.
Derech.
That doesn't.
Yeah, I know.
Give it a name.
That's what he says.
Something that we just call.
I know. That's what he says. He says
over hayam. That's what Reb Moshe says.
Yeah.
A basic flight's close
domestic.
By,
yeah.
But if you're going over the Atlantic, in other words, when you go
over hayam,
you're going to Europe
over a body of water.
Over hayam, then you make it. What?
You go to Miami, you go over.
Nah. Well, yeah, that's true. Definitely.
When you go to Miami, will they fly over the Atlantic?
Because you know why? Because Miami is a lot further west than New York. You don't realize it.
Miami is a lot further west than New York.
It is. So yes.
So they go out.
So yeah, you're going, you're
they
gonna
go
fly
out.
Over the water. You're going to fly the most direct route.
And that's over the water. Okay. Okay, this is an old shaila. When you fly today, do you say Birchas HaGoimel? There are many... There are different opinions. Some hold that air, you follow statistics. And statistically, flying over the Atlantic is safer, Baruch Hashem, than going in your car around the corner. So some hold that's enough. The paskin lahalacha, you should never say tefillah tzedek when you fly in an airplane. Right. Other paskin say no. You don't play around. You go over. You go over a body of water. That's it. Doesn't make a difference whether you go over or however you go over. You gotta make the bracha. We gotta make brachas agoyma. Some have. What about domestic? So some say not. But even when you fly domestic, you pass over major rivers, and you have to on your flight path.
In Lakewood, they said.
They do say. When he flew, he said. He did say. Okay, so they're different. There are the chiluke deos with regard to making a birchas hagoimel when you air flight. Do you make every time when you arrive, or do you make when you come back? Do you make it twice? Every time you arrive, until you make a bracha, and when you come back, you make a bracha? No, some places say only on the return trip. When you're planning to go for 2-3 weeks, you only make the bracha when you come back. What? Well, not to Lakewood. Not to Lakewood. We're talking about going there to show. When you go, let's say you go there to show. What do people do? When you go there to show. You make it up when you arrive. When you arrive, chiluk edeus. Some hold that when you arrive, you make a bracha, and then when you come back, you make a bracha. Some say no. You only if you're planning. If your ikar residence is in one location and you go for a trip for 2-3 weeks, so you only make one bracha when you come back. Chiluk edeus. Okay, whatever it is. All right, let's go further. Now there is another point halacha that says this is the sugya of a person should always speak lishna ma'aliyanokat. A person should not talk explicit terms. This is so true for today. Today the tendency is to be very explicit in transparency. Well, in what you're trying to say. And Chazal say, look, the Chazal, they use this more as a source that when describing especially matters relating to ish v'isha, a person should speak b'loshon nikiya. And the quote is this Chazal. This Chazal is where it says the isha when she does the most terrible avera of gili arayos. How is it described? Ochla. She did a ma'isa achila. U'mocha safia. Alech, and we have Yosef at Sadik, him Alech Masher Oichel, that you, I may not be, the only thing that I'm not allowed to have is you, because you are his wife. Another example Chazal illustrated is Zocharnu es Hadoga, Asher Noichal b'Mitzrayim Chinam. Remember the fish that we ate in Mitzrayim Chinam. What does that mean? That Rav Shmuel Chalam once says, Dogim means literally they ate fish. They wanted some sushi. Okay, they missed the good sushi, the Egyptian sushi. That's what they were complaining about. The Chadam one says, Arayos.
Not sushi.
What?
Herring.
In this generation, it became sushi.
What?
This is an old generation. Sushi is now is the in thing. The Chadam one says, Arayos. The dogim refers to gilui arayis, our relatives. That before the Torah was given, people were allowed to live with close relatives, whether it was uncles, aunts, whatever exactly it was. And now Moshe Rabbeinu gave them the Torah, there was a prohibition of arayos. And then there was shniyos, there were distant relatives, which also were forbidden. So why then does it say in the Torah, dog? We ate the fish. Asher ochla b'mitzrayim chinam lishnam aliyah noka tchsiv. And then the Gemara is, where do you find the makar precedent that the Torah talks lishnam aliyah? Again, it quotes here this pasuk in Mishlei. This always is the example given of a person should be sensitive to speak the lishna ma'aliyah ochla mochsapi aviyam aloy pa'alti oven. Another example is derech, that talks about derech gever ba'alma. Doesn't say any explicit term. It says derech gever ba'alma. We reference to a ma'isa ishos. It refers to, this is derech eretz. Okay, even the fact, and this is all based upon that principle.
You have all the times in the Chumash when it says many times Asher lo tahora instead of the word tameh.
Torah was ma'ake, many letters in order.
And the scenario of what the pasuk is talking
in
about.
In order to speak lishna ma'alya. And some say that's why it's called lashon hakodesh. Why is it lashon hakodesh? Because there's no word for ma'ase ishus. What do they call it? It's called shegel.
Right. Tishkolena.
Tishkolena, that's not a real word. That's a word that was invented. There's no word in the Torah for this might. It doesn't appear that word in the whole Torah. That's why it's Lashon Kodesh. Sensitivity to language, to expression. It's a very powerful Musar, especially, I mean, in this generation. When I was a child, the words that are used today were never, if we heard such words when I was a child, they would wash our mouths out.
It's called the coarsening of the culture.
They would not allow us to listen to the, today children are in the car, listen to the radio, and the things that they say on the radio, you know, listen to 1010 Winds, INS, or... And when I was a child, just kidding, for 1 minute, listening for 60 seconds, the words that are said, they would wash our mouths out when we were children.
Born with doing the word damn, I don't give a damn. Mm-hmm. It right. was, ooh.
Ooh, damn. That's nothing today, right? that's Mamashad. So this is, okay, but at least something to pay attention to, at least for the moment.
You could say darn if you can't say darn.
Today
you say darn,
you say
who?
Darn what?
All right, we'll stop over here.